I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From him he came and sought her to be.
There's a particular line in that song I want to highlight for you. In speaking about Jesus as the foundation of the church, the songwriter wrote these words, "She," that's the church, "is his new creation by water and the Word." Jesus, the living Word, is the subject of the written Word, the Holy Scriptures. And why is that important? Well, this month of June marks the beginning of the 55th year of the Voice of Hope. This program is produced and sponsored by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel media ministry. In our original bylaws from 1967, several purposes were given for the founding of the ministry. And here's the first one: to develop a deeper and more comprehensive commitment of Christian believers to Jesus Christ as the Lord of the Church and the teachings of the Bible as the inspired Word of God. More than 50 years have passed since the founding of Heralds of Hope, but that purpose hasn't changed. In the statement of our mission, vision, and values, we have several core values that we hold without compromise, and one of them is the authority of Scripture. I opened the program with 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17, which inform us that all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for us. In other words, it is to our advantage to pay attention to the Word and to obey it, because it is through this Word that the Holy Spirit can equip us for every good work. As part of our commemoration of our anniversary month, I'll be sharing some teaching relating to this core value of the authority of Scripture. If you'd like to follow along when I read our Scripture text, you can open your Bible or your phone app to 2 Timothy chapter 3. My teaching is titled, Gospel Theology: Why Correct Theology is Important for Salvation. Now, before we get to my teaching, here are the men to remind us that the Scriptures are wonderful words of life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful, wonderful, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of
beautiful words,
wonderful words of life.
A number of years ago, a very strange situation developed on a farm in New Zealand. Without warning, one farmer's cows began to get sick and die. And it was a mystery. They didn't know what was happening. The farmer had never experienced anything like it before, so he called in the health inspectors. And they tested the farm's water supply, and they conducted other tests on the environment. During that testing time, even more cows got sick and died. And soon, almost the entire herd of 100 cows was sick. When the test results finally came back from the lab, the lead readings were off the chart. An autopsy of one of the dead cows revealed the cause of its death. The cows had lead poisoning, and so they had to slaughter the remainder of the herd. The farmer was baffled by it. But then they discovered that there was a rifle range next to the farm, and over time, hundreds of stray bullets had landed in the adjacent fields. And they inadvertently got mixed in with the grass that was made into hay. And then that hay was fed to the cows. The tiny pieces of lead, some of them invisible to the naked eye, had poisoned those cows. You know, false teaching can have a similar impact on a believer that lead poisoning had on that herd of cows. Over time, exposure to the wrong teaching produces wrong thoughts about the character of God and about His relationship to His people. And that produces a carelessness in our understanding of who He is and what He expects of us as His followers. And that ultimately leads to spiritual death, which is alienation from Jesus Christ. So for this reason, all Christ followers should pay careful attention to what we are being fed. Now, if we don't know God's Word ourselves, then we won't be able to discern if there are fragments of poison that are part of our regular spiritual and intellectual diet. The importance of teaching sound theology and doctrine can't be overstated. And it's particularly important for those who are involved in Bible teaching or missionary work. Too many professing Christians today think that being politically correct is more important than standing up for truth, even when it's the truth of God's Word. I'm sure you've heard the old saying, "You are what you eat." And if it's true that what we put into our bodies affects our health and well-being, then how much more important is it that we're careful about what we consume intellectually and spiritually? Jesus said in Luke 6:45, "The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil person, out of the evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." You and I don't live out of what we say we believe. We live out of what we actually believe. The things you and I believe about God affect the choices that we make in life every day. And the Scriptures make it clear that choices determine destiny. Wrong beliefs result in wrong choices, and that's why it's so important to have correct beliefs. Now, as part of our introduction, we need at least a brief look into the terms we're using in this title, Gospel Theology. Why is correct theology important for salvation? Let's begin with this question. What is the gospel? Now, you might answer the good news. Okay, but the good news about what? That I can have a better life if I accept Jesus? That I can have a personal relationship with Him, or I get to go to heaven when I die? You know, those things are all true, but they aren't the heart of the gospel. The gospel is called the good news because it addresses the most serious problem that you and I have as human beings. And here's the problem. God is holy and just, and He's perfect. And we're not. Paul defined the gospel very simply in 1 Timothy 1:15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that, and here it is, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. So prior to conversion, every person, is a sinner in need of salvation. And then, what is theology? Well, if you look in the origins of the word, it comes from the Greek word theos, which equals God, and logos, which is word. So we can simply say theology is a word about God. The word of man about God is founded on the word of God from God. In other words, man speaks because God has spoken. He has spoken to us both in his Son, the living word, and in the scriptures, the written word. So gospel theology is based on what God has said in his word about himself and about humanity. Now let me also comment on a related word, and it's the word doctrine. It appears 56 times in the scripture, 4 times here in our text, and it's simply defined as something that is taught. Paul uses the word teaching and doctrine interchangeably, but his particular concern and ours is the teaching of sound or healthy doctrine, or healthy teaching. If you can, turn with me in your copies of the scripture to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll begin reading there with verse 10, and I'll continue reading on through chapter 4 and verse 5. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. As we examine this text, we discover several essential concepts that will help us answer the question, why is correct theology important for salvation? The first concept I see here is that gospel theology embraces suffering. Oh my, what a place to start. Let me ask you something. If people sat in on your weekly services at your church, would they conclude from attending there that your understanding of the gospel embraces suffering? If those same people followed you to your home, and let's say they lived with you for a couple of days or maybe a couple of weeks, would your lifestyle choices convince them that gospel theology embraces suffering? You see, in verse 12, Paul makes a very emphatic statement. He says, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus shall suffer. Or put it this way, all that are bent on living a godly life will suffer. And you know, the Apostle Peter agrees with Paul's words. He wrote, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, because in this you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That's 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. What's the relationship of Christ's sufferings to our salvation? In Matthew 16:21 we read, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And then Isaiah chapters 52 and 53 give us a graphic picture of Christ's suffering and the glorious results. That's our justification. So gospel theology is clear. Without Christ's suffering, there is no salvation. Praise God, you and I don't need to suffer the penalty of our sins. Jesus took that upon himself on the cross. But if we're genuinely saved, if we're genuinely born again, we'll experience suffering. Acts chapter 5 records the experience of the apostles before the Sanhedrin. Verse 45 says, "Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name," that is, the name of Jesus. Why did they do that? Why did they rejoice? Because they understood the greatness of the gift of salvation. The love of Jesus, expressed in his suffering, motivated them to love him in return. And it should motivate you and me also. Paul wrote that Timothy knew about his suffering. And why did Paul suffer? Because of his commitment to Christ and the qualities that are mentioned in verse 10. In his mind and experience, there was a direct cause and effect between salvation and suffering. But today, many Christians insist that salvation and discipleship are two separate concepts. I see Jesus and the New Testament writers teaching that they are inextricably linked together, because Jesus never looked for converts. Instead, he called disciples. And when he did speak of conversion, it meant a turning around. You're going one way, following one master, self, Satan, and then you turn around and you follow a different master. That new master is Jesus. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." A genuine understanding of salvation includes discipleship, and discipleship means cross-bearing. Cross-bearing is suffering, but like Jesus, we can face it with joy. Hebrews 12:2 tells us that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. After Jesus told Nicodemus to be born again, he said that the effects of that experience would be visible, just like the wind in the trees. Genuine salvation results in discipleship, and genuine discipleship results in visible lifestyle changes. Genuine discipleship is possible only to those who have received a new nature. That's the nature of Christ. So how much foundation must we lay in order to bring people to a proper understanding of the gospel and their salvation? Well, since the suffering of Christ is the basis of our salvation, and our suffering is a result of embracing that salvation, we need to be sure that people understand the cost of their redemption and their commitment. The concept of suffering, I believe, is one that is often ignored or minimized in many evangelistic efforts today. There's a second concept, then, that will help us answer the question, why is correct theology important for salvation? It is gospel theology embraces Scripture. It really doesn't matter what you and I think the gospel is. I hope that statement doesn't shock you, because it's true. The Scriptures tell us what the gospel is, and we're not at liberty to change it. It's fixed. It's unmovable. It's objective. It's not influenced by our personal feelings, by our prejudices, or by our interpretation. It's based on facts as God has revealed them to us in His Word. And so, like Timothy, we need to embrace those facts and then continue in them. Paul tells Timothy in chapter 3, verse 15, that it is the Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation that is in Christ Jesus. So, in order for a person to experience salvation, he or she must have exposure to the Scripture. And this is one of the essentials of a healthy spiritual life, and I might add, a healthy church. Paul Hadaway, who has ministered for many years in China, tells us about the importance of Scripture in that country. He tells how Asia is full of bizarre religious beliefs. There are a number of cults flooding the continent, and it's a constant battle for Christian leaders just to keep the most dangerous heresies from infiltrating the church and from destroying their flocks. In China, the Eastern Lightning cult is also known as the Church of Almighty God, and it continues to ravage churches throughout the country. It's a strange movement. At its core is the belief that Jesus has been reincarnated as a woman and is living somewhere in central China, just waiting for the right time for her identity to be revealed to the world. Paul Hadaway goes on, "Now you may think, that's ridiculous. No Christian would ever believe such nonsense. Well, that's true, but in China, the availability of Bibles has been severely limited, and that's a deliberate attempt to strangle the massive house church movement. Because believers who only have a shallow knowledge of the Bible become easy pickings for the cults that abound. Now, back in my introduction, I quoted from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. No one can come to an understanding of salvation without first understanding that they are lost. And Paul says in Romans 3:20 that it is through the law that we come to the knowledge of sin. He further states in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6 reminds us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. All of these things are foundational, and a person can't truly be born again without understanding them. Verse 15 tells us that our faith in Christ Jesus is based on the foundation of the Holy Scriptures. In other words, the Word of God lays out the requirements for our salvation. When you and I, by faith, agree with the conditions God has set up, then we can receive salvation. And Peter made this clear in Acts 4:11 and 12, when he said, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else. Listen, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And so Paul reminds Timothy that this embrace of the word comes to us in the same way as our initial conversion experience, and that's by faith. Faith believes what God's word says is true, even if it may seem foolish or impractical or impossible. Let me give you an example. Jesus said, "Whoever will smite you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also." Now, doesn't that sound foolish, impractical, and even impossible? Well, from the standpoint of our human reasoning, absolutely. But faith believes and then acts on the command, knowing that God promises to bless those who obey him in faith. I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time on this broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next time to continue this teaching.
My faith has found a resting place, not in a man-made creed. I trust the ever-living one that he for me will plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this sends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him, he will not cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. My soul is resting on the Word, the living Word of God. Salvation in my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. The great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me.
I hope that's your testimony too, that your faith has found a resting place. What you heard today is just the first part of this teaching. Lord willing, we'll be back next time with the concluding portion. In the meantime, you can request a complete copy of this teaching, either in print or in a digital audio file. Just ask for the teaching by its title, Gospel Theology. Now, the easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope at heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can also log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching whenever it's convenient for you. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 to request a digital or printed copy of this teaching, Gospel Theology. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. And if you've never accepted, by faith, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus for your sins, don't delay, because He's still mighty to save.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender.
I surrender.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Shine a light and
let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Oh, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty.